Perak Beis, Mishnah Beis. Hasomech sukaso bikari hamita. If a person builds a sukkah and he leans the sukkah on the kari hamita, like the posts of the bed, okay, if you look at image Yud Dalid attached to the email, you can see exactly what we're talking about. He literally has a bed, and the bed has four, you know, here they made it with three posts, three-post bed, and he put the schach on top of it as if, you know, it's like a bed with a sukkah. So here the whole sukkah is relying on these posts of the bed. And one might think that if I move the bed, then the whole sukkah will collapse because it's relying on the bed, right? Nevertheless, if he makes a sukkah like this, kshira, it's going to be kosher. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, so this is the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda says, if the sukkah can't hold up on its own, meaning if the sukkah is relying so much so on the post of the bed, that if you remove the bed, the sukkah will collapse, okay? So then, psula, then the sukkah would be invalid, because if Yehuda goes according to his opinion that we mentioned earlier, he holds the sukkah has to be a diras kep, a permanent dwelling. And therefore, if you remove the structure that's holding it and it falls down, so then it's no good, then it's puzzle, then it's invalid. So the Tanakhama will say that, no, it's kosher. At the end of the day, it's got its three walls. Granted, it's being supported by a bed, and if you move the bed, the sukkah will collapse, but it's still kosher. Whereas if Yehuda says that, no, it's got to be a permanent structure. And therefore, if you remove the bed, the sukkah will fall down, then it's no good. But if there were posts, you know, holding up the schach other than the bed posts, and if you remove the bed to the side, then the sukkah will still stay standing, then it's fine, you know, even according to Yehuda. But otherwise, if it's just solely depending on the boards of the bed, then according to Yehuda, it would be invalid. Sukkah hamiduvleles. So what is hamiduvleles? The Gemara explains that if you have a sukkah, that the branches of the sukkah are not, you know, the schach is not just flush. Rather, it's, you know, one is going up, one is going down. One is going up, one is going down. The best way to understand this is if you look at the image in the email, image Chaf Aleph. So you have like these, looks like 2x4s, but imagine they're just like bamboo shoots. And they're set up in like two layers, whereby one is up, one is down, one is up, one is down. So as long as the distance between the lower schach and the upper schach is less than 3 tefachim, if you look closely at the image, it says the distance there is 2.9. If it's less than 3 tefachim, then we just look at it as if it's, you know, completely flat on the schach, and it would be kosher. And the main reason is because we want there to be more shade than sun in the sukkah. It's a general rule. When it's lifted up so high, then there's going to be more sun coming in than shade. But if you were to imagine, if you just push it down, then there would be more shade than sun. You could even look at the floor of that sukkah. You see that most of the, you know, the rays are very, very thin, and you have mostly shade in that sukkah. So even though technically it's lifted, right, and if you look at the floor in the lifted state, there's more sun than shade coming into the sukkah. Because technically we can imagine if the schach was pulled down, and if it was pulled down, there'd be more shade than sun. So as long as the distance between the lower schach and the upper schach is less than 3 tefachim, we say we look at it as if it's just one flat area, and the sukkah would be kosher. Another case, we should till some rubach mechamaso. What happens if I have a sukkah where I already have more shade than sun? But the schach is made out of very, very weak material. So there also kshir, it's kosher. We don't really care if the schach is made out of weak material. As long as I have more shade than sun, and the sukkah is going to be kosher. And lastly, hamu'ubek command bias. If a person makes a sukkah where the schach is so thick, the roof of the schach is so thick, it's as thick as the roof of your house, super thick. Even if you can't see the stars through the schach, right? You're supposed to see the stars through your schach. If it's so thick that when you look up, you can't see the stars, nevertheless, ksheir, it's going to be kosher. And we learn from here that l'chadchila, initially, the schach shouldn't be too thick. It should be just, you know, thick enough that rain shouldn't come into your sukkah, but not too thick so that you could see the stars when you look up through the schach at night. That's the best way to do it. But if you made the schach so super thick, almost like a, you know, like a real roof of a house, and you can't see the stars at night, it's still going to be kosher. And that wraps up Mishnah Beis. Mishnah Gimel. If a person builds a sukkah on top of a wagon, even though the wagon is traveling and it's moving and it's not set in one spot, he builds a sukkah on top of a boat, which is in the ocean, And even though the ruach shaleta sham v'yechol ha'akra, the winds there are very, very strong, and it could uproot the sukkah. So in both cases, in the wagon case, the wagon's moving, the sukkah could fall down. If the sukkah's on top of a boat, so the wind could blow it away. Nevertheless, k'shera, these two sukkahs are kosher. And the Gemara explains that we're talking about a case where the sukkah is strong enough that if a wind, the ruach metsuya, common wind, shel hayavasha of on the dry land would come, it wouldn't knock it off, then it's going to be considered kosher. So even though she'ini yechol alam, but even though it can't stand the common winds of the sea, if it's on a boat, right? Nevertheless, sukkah is kosher as long as it can withstand the common winds of the land. That's the bar. That's how we set the bar. Should we call makom dir sarayhi, because it's considered a temporary dwelling, and that's what we want. We want a temporary dwelling, and temporary enough that it's, you know, not fixed, not like a permanent structure, but at the same time, not temporary, that it's not temporary at all, but it'll just blow away. So it's in that middle stage. And here, if it won't get blown away by a dry land common wind, that's the bar that we say that sukkah is going to be kosher. The term in Hebrew is ruach metsuya shel yabasha. It's got to be able to withstand the common winds of the dry land. So whether it's on a wagon, whether it's on a boat at sea, it's kosher. And you could go on the sukkah on Yom Tov. Now, what does it mean you can go on Yom Tov? Of course you can go on Yom Tov. So this is really mentioned for the latter part of the Mishnah. Let's discuss it. So here, these two sukkahs, you can go on it, whether it's Chol HaMoed, or whether it's Yom Tov. However, Berosh Ha'ilan, if you build a sukkah on top of a treehouse sukkah, or Agave Gamal, or on top of a camel, Sheira, so both of these cases are kosher, but only for Chol HaMoed, you can't go on these sukkahs on Yom Tov. V'in Olam Labi Yom Tov, you can't go on them on Yom Tov. Why? Because you're not allowed to climb up a tree on Yom Tov, lest you break a branch, and you're not allowed to ride an animal on Yom Tov. It's a prohibition. So these two sukkahs, granted, they're kosher, but they're kosher for Chol HaMoed, not for Yom Tov. Because you can't climb a tree on Yom Tov, and you can't go on an animal on Yom Tov. So building a sukkah on a tree, or building a sukkah on top of a camel, would be kosher only for Chol HaMoed, and not for Yom Tov. Shtayim be'ilan, what happens if I build a sukkah where two of the walls are being supported by the tree, v'yachas b'di'adam, and one is being supported by a man-made, by man, meaning it's all the way on the ground. The best way to understand this case is if you look at image mem gimel in the email, you'll see there that we have a three-walled sukkah. Two of the walls, the left wall and then like the north wall, if you look closely, they're actually resting on the actual tree holding it up. And then the right wall is being supported by this long man-made wall. So in that case, it's called shtayim be'ilan, two that are being supported by the tree, the achas with the other, one being supported by the regular wall on the ground. Or shtayim be'ilan, adam, two that are built, that are being supported by the man-made, the achas be'ilan, one on the tree. If you look at image memdala, the next picture over there. So again, here, if you look closely, left wall and then the wall, you know, straight ahead of you are both being supported by this long extended man-made wall. But the wall all the way on the right is being supported by the tree. So both these cases, whether you have two of the walls being supported by the tree and one by a regular man-made wall, or two of the walls being supported by the man-made walls and one being supported by the tree, k'shera, they're both kosher, right? They're kosher sukkahs, but v'ein olam l'biyom tov, you can't go on Yom Tov. Why? Because the tree is playing a significant role in supporting the sukkah. And once it's playing a significant role in supporting the sukkah, we're afraid that when you go up on the sukkah, the sukkah is deemed being held by the tree, and you might break a branch, and you can't go up on Yom Tov. So you can only go up on Chol HaMoed. But shalosh b'di'adam, if three of the walls are being supported by man-made walls, v'achas b'ilan, and then, you know, the fourth wall is being supported by the tree, then k'shir, of course, it's kosher. V'on lab Yom Tov, you can go up on Yom Tov as well. Right? If you look at the last image in the email, image Memhei, you've got three walls that are supported by three walls all attached to the ground. They all extend down to the ground. Granted, the fourth wall is being supported by the tree, but you don't really need the tree there. So therefore, you can even go up to that one on Yom Tov. And Zach Klal, the Mishnah concludes with a rule. So it all depends on, you know, if you were technically to remove the tree. Yeah, you had a magic button to remove the tree. If you remove the tree and the sukkah still stands, so then we see that this tree really plays no role over here. And you can go up on the sukkah, not just on Chol HaMoed, but even on Yom Tov. We're not considering it a bigger branch, because the tree's not really supporting it. But if you were to move the tree out of the way and the sukkah would collapse, so then we see the tree has a significant role. And once it has a significant role, we're afraid if you go up onto that sukkah on Yom Tov, you might break a branch, and that's a prohibition on sukkahs. So therefore, that's when you can't use it on Yom Tov, but certainly you can use it in Chol HaMoed. Whereas if you remove the tree out of the way and the sukkah would still stand, then you could use it, Bein on Chol HaMoed and Bein on Yom Tov, and that wraps up Mishnah Gemara.